Hello and welcome to Puffcast, your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 36 on July 21st, 2021. And I am Melanie.
And I'm Juliana. And this week we have a very special guest. We have Brian Biggs from the Potterhead Running Club. Welcome, Brian.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yay. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yes. So, Brian, let our listeners know who you are. Let us know your house, your Patronus, your wand, and your favorite food. That is not pizza, because we assume that pizza is your number one.
Pizza is actually not my number one food. It's really not. I know that sounds weird. It's actually sushi. Sushi is my favorite food. But I am a Slytherin. My Patronus is a sloth, and that is, of course, a three-toed sloth.
A sloth? Really? I love that.
My Patronus is a sloth. It is a three-toed sloth, not a two-toed sloth. They are far inferior. I'm just kidding. Wow. I love all sloths. Okay. I love sloths because they're always smiling. No matter how you look at them, they're always smiling.
Oh, that's very true.
And that's good. And it also reflects the speed at which I run. But then my wand is 10 and a half inches. It is an aspen wand with a dragon heartstring core.
Wow. Very, very nice. So... just for listeners, Brian is the CEO of...
CEO of Random Tuesday Incorporated.
Yes. And we're going to actually do a full interview with him down in our main discussion. But first, we have the news. And then Mel will insert the news here. Do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Hello and welcome. Today we are broadcasting the news from the Cave on the Hill. You know, the one that's in the sixth book, I think, of Harry Potter. That one that Dumbledore takes Harry to and he got Slytherin's locker in it. We're there!
Such a cozy place to be at.
Yes, what a wonderful warm and dry and just welcoming and cheery place to be. We are very happy to deliver the news to you from such an upbeat location.
Yeah, the crowd is cheering in here.
Yeah, you can hear the waves crashing. It's like having a crowd cheering. Yay! But listeners, if you hear any kind of echoing, it's because we are in a cave. Thank you very much. We are in a cave. So
it's so more from my end because I'm in a different part of the room. But never mind that. The rest of the episode is going to be better.
Yes. Okay, so on our news docket for today, we have one exciting announcement at the top. We have a new patron, which is very exciting.
Woohoo! Yay!
And that patron is the Creatively team, and we want to thank them very much. And they are the team behind A Very Potter Podcast, which is a fabulous podcast that if you would like to go and listen to them, head on over to any place where pods are cast and you can listen to A Very Potter Podcast. But we're very happy that they have chosen to support us over on Patreon and help us to function as a podcast and also help to donate to charity every month as we do. And if you would like to join us as a Patreon, you can head on over to patreon.com/puffcast and join us for as little as $2 a month. Hooray!
Yay!
Okay, so as I've warned Mel already, there are actually quite a lot of things happening in the wizarding world right now.
Last episode, we had zero news. This episode, we have a vast amount of news.
Yeah. It seems like in the last week, everything is either reopening or has put out plans on when they are going to reopen. So we have a lot of announcements to be making. The first one is not about a reopening, but it is about a book that Bonnie Wright, the actress who played Ginny Weasley, revealed that she is writing and that will be out in spring 2022. And she said it's basically a kind of lifestyle home book about sustainability and what we can be doing at home as we will spend so much time there. It sounds kind of like a either vegan or vegan-leaning lifestyle book.
She is very much involved in environmental, like how we can produce less waste, using less plastic and that kind of stuff. So if you have followed her social media a little bit, you will see that she's advocating a lot for cleaning oceans and so many other more things. So she's very engaged with that. So I will definitely be looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was going to say, this feels like a book that you would really enjoy, Mel.
Yeah, I would
Also, we have two announcements for the Cursed Child play. The first one is that the London production will be reopening in October 2021, and tickets are currently on sale as we speak. So if you would like to attend that production, you can go ahead and do so. I will say that it is still two parts, which leads us into our second announcement, which I think is a very exciting announcement because this is the soapbox I've been standing on for quite a while at this point, is that the Cursed Child in the US and Canada is reopening as one show. That's right, you heard it here, probably not first, folks. You don't have to commit all of your money and your entire vacation to seeing one play anymore. You can go and see it within the normal 2 to 3 hour span of a theater show.
So it is then, in this case, basically a shorter version of the play, or?
Yeah, so we don't have any information as to how they're going to shorten the play. There's no new screenplay. There's no information as to what will be kept and what will be cut. Things are leaving. It's just a question as to what will and won't stay.
So this is probably more of a thing for people who have seen the play before and would be okay with the shorter, more condensed version of it in this case. Is that going to apply to all of the places in the US and Canada that they are having them?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so this is going to be all the places in the US and Canada. And for me, it does appeal to the audience that you just said, Mel, the people who are okay with taking it down from the mm-hmm. one to the 2 to 1 and they've seen the play already. But I feel like this actually opens the accessibility door to so many other people to actually see this play. Because like I said, you don't have to commit like 2 days in a row. Like me and my mom actually bought tickets to see this. And just for reference, beforehand, the tickets that her and I just purchased, we just bought tickets that are $80 a piece. Beforehand, those tickets were going for around $150 a piece. Mm-hmm. And you had to buy 2 shows worth of tickets too.
Yeah.
It's $80 in a day instead of like almost $250 for like $300 per thing. And you would normally have to stay there overnight.
That will be really interesting to see what kinds of parts they cut out. So you have to take notes when you are there so we can report on our podcast. But
yes.
I'm wondering, this play has been running for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there is a chance that they have actually listened to people pointing out what they love and what they hate, and they might cut out more of the stuff that is disliked, that doesn't work so well, to make this play a better story of sorts? I mean, the stage play is supposed to be brilliant, everyone keeps telling. I haven't seen it, but... Yeah. To keep the story maybe a little bit more to the liking of everyone as well.
Yeah, I feel as though they have a very, very big opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. If they will do that, it's still obviously up in the air. We don't have any information as of right now. But I'm really hoping so, because just as someone who's seen the show before, it is an absolutely beautiful show. But there are definitely some parts in it that are just like dead space.
Yeah, it will maybe then have a better flow of the story.
Yeah. So also along the lines, Cursed Child has partnered with Portal, which is Facebook's version of Skype or Zoom, and you can now become an augmented reality version of one of the characters if you would like to own your video chatting with people on that. Similar to the way that you can dress yourself up or give yourself backgrounds or become cats or something like that on Skype or Zoom, you can now become one of the characters from Cursed Child and have like all those backgrounds behind you, which is kind of cool.
What, you gonna look like one of the characters?
Yeah, they have like these weird like little augmented reality bodies and stuff, and you have the background. Okay. So they put your face on the characters, kind of.
That sounds really fun.
If anyone, I've never actually used Portal myself, but if anyone out there does use Portal and wants to become a character from The Cursed Child while you're video chatting your friend, have fun. We also have some news from the Warner Brothers studios. The studio tour in Hollywood has officially been reopened as of June 26th. And then, Mel, we also have something on your side of the pond that is opening up. Would you like to tell us about that?
The Warner Brothers on location London presents the Harry Potter photographic exhibition. And mm-hmm. this exhibition, located in Covent Garden in London, is bound to be unlike anything you've seen before, they say. It will take you on a behind-the-scenes journey of 10 years of filmmaking. And that sounds actually really fun.
Yeah.
They will have a big display of iconic production photographs that have never been displayed before in any of the places. They will focus on key moments in the film series, from Harry's first day at Hogwarts to the epic battle of the final film. And I feel like that is something very close by to me that I could actually go and see at some point. Now the question is just how long and when exactly is that going to run? Is there a date for this?
It opens tomorrow.
Ah, okay. So on the day of recording, it opens tomorrow on the 12th of July.
Yes, and if you would like a kind of preview of it, the Phelps twins have been doing some lovely live interviews and live streams and a bunch of photo ops with the photos themselves, and that is on Instagram at Harry Potter on Location. Mm-hmm. That's their handle. And one of the other things that's coming along with this exhibition is the opening of the one and only Butterbeer Bar in Europe, essentially.
Hooray.
Yes, that was a delayed reaction.
Sorry. As I said, today is not a good day. I didn't quite understand first what you said, and I was like, oh, wait, Butterbeer, yes, yay.
Yeah, I like that. That's a thing I like. But yeah, so they're opening the one and only Butterbeer Bar in all of Europe at the Harry Potter on Location.
Yeah.
I assume they're going to be serving the vegan butterbeer. That's what I was just trying to look up, Mel.
I would hope so.
Yeah. I feel like the New York store at least set the standard
mm-hmm.
that it does. On their Instagram posts, I didn't see if it would or not. But hopefully they will, and hopefully Mel can get her bum over there when she's feeling a little bit better.
And when it's safer again to fly about, because mm-hmm. I'm still waiting on that for later in the year to be doing my traveling for the first time in what feels like 100 years ago. So
yeah, it's been a hot minute.
And perhaps if everything works out and Juliana and me see each other next year, we might be able to even go together.
Yes, that would be nice. I'm hoping. See, I don't know if this is a permanent installation of pictures, because I know a lot of the tours of items and things like that have moved. Mm-hmm. Or they move around a little bit. But from the way that they're starting a butterbeer bar here, it makes me think that it's permanent.
I would think so. I mean, an exhibition, of course, is a different thing that will be only for a limited amount of time. It will maybe move somewhere also. It definitely is not going to happen in Finland. I know that much. But... But we shall see. So, but if any of you are going and seeing things, please send us some pictures or videos or whatever. We would love to share it and have a look at it. So we're always happy for you to share things with us.
Yes. So our last piece of news that we have is in regards to the Harry Potter store in New York, which we were actually just talking about. And that is that as of July 15th, the VR experiences will be opening up in that store. And those are the virtual reality experiences that live on the top and the bottom floors of the new Harry Potter store that was just opened in New York. And they are called Chaos at Hogwarts and Wizards Take Flight. And they are exclusive to the store, and it says that you won't find them anywhere else in the whole wizarding world of Harry Potter shenanigans that they have out there. In regards to what you can expect from the experiences, it says that Chaos at Hogwarts lets hopeful witches and wizards step into a magical journey to Hogwarts Castle and become part of the adventure where magical creatures and secrets await. Wands at the ready! And then for Wizards Take Flight, it says, Wizards Take Flight prepares guests for flight as they fly on brooms with the thrills of magical wand battle against Death Eaters over the skies of London and free fly around the enchanting grounds of Hogwarts Castle. Accio Fireballs! We like to end with an exclamation point.
Okay, that sounds like fun. I mean, if you go to the London studio tour, you can also have a sort of experience where you are being dressed up as a Quidditch player and you can sit on a broom.
Ooh.
You are being filmed, basically, and then you can purchase this sort of video of yourself.
Okay.
That sounds still a bit more realistic VR, so you are really feeling like you are in it and it's happening, like actually happening to you.
Like specifically for the Wizard Takes Flight one, I have a feeling that they're going to have like broom setups and then you're going to put on the headset Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be able to, like, see everything around you through the VR headset. And then that's how things are going to kind of work, per se.
That honestly would make me feel sick. I'm not good with heights, first of all. And then you gonna feel like you're actually flying on that broom. Again, let us know if you try it, how it was.
Did you vomit? Are you feeling okay? All the pressing questions that we must ask. That's all we have for the news. Feedback from episode 35, which was our discussion about Luna, Pride Month, and being yourself. And we have some lovely responses to Buttercup's question, which was, do you think that the LGBTQIA+ community would face the same challenges in the wizarding world as they do in the muggle world?
The first one is from Hufflepuffing by Night, saying, cursed child in the background, right, I'm a head out.
I think she's referencing the pretty, almost obviously gay storyline of Cursed Child.
Okay.
And how the authors just chose to, like, not even make it an official thing. You can see how they would face a lot of discrimination.
I feel like many productions are nowadays sort of hinting at things, but they are not really saying it to not be accused, in quotation marks.
That's so aggravating.
So that people would give them hate, because there is still enough people who would give hate. And the official labels, I think it's still gonna take a little while before people really go for it without that they are scared for a backlash.
Yeah. I would really love that if one of the changes to Cursed Child would be in, like, an actually explicitly gay storyline between Scorpius and Albus, because this is one of my favorite ships, honestly. It's so obvious, especially in the production that I saw, the way that the actors play off of each other as their characters, it's very obvious that they had some kind of discussion where they were like, are they dating? And the other actor was like, yeah. And they were like, okay. Like, that's the dynamic that they have definitely created. Yeah. I mean, granted, in a stage production, you can get two new actors and they can play it off completely differently, too.
Yeah.
But what else did our friends say, Mel?
But then we had also Alice in the Wonderland 98 saying, it would be much more difficult because some wizards are not even able to recognize, in quotation marks, not purebloods, as their equals.
Yeah.
When we talked about this, I think it was me actually saying also something similar, that this whole point in the stories at the time, at least when this played, that we have these racial issues.
Mm-hmm.
We have the purebloods, or that there are even titles like that still existing, someone being a muggle-born, a pureblood, or a mudblood, as some of the lovelier characters are using. So yeah, that's definitely a good point that is being made. And Juliana had an answer here.
That is interesting. That it seems to be that blood is more important to them than really anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alice in Wonderland 98 responded, and they even do not see that it is completely pointless, because there are actually plenty of incredible, talented, and powerful wizards that are not quote-unquote pure. And what is the most ridiculous thing that supporters of, quote, the pure blood thing, unquote, were also supporters of Voldemort, who is a half-blood? Where is the logic?
Yeah.
And yeah, she's right. The man who is essentially running this full movement is a half-blood himself.
Which is the perfect comparison to the real world issues with World War II, that we have had Hitler.
Yes.
That also had a certain idea of how people should look like and what they should be like, but didn't fit into that box himself at all.
Yeah.
And then we still had Real Fishy. Sadly, I think they still would, given how they live in the past in so many ways and seems to have fairly old-fashioned mindsets, but maybe they are more open-minded than I think.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the fact that they definitely are behind in a lot of things, whether it be their views or whether it just be technology on the whole.
Mm-hmm. I would like to imagine, since we are only looking at the stories from back in the day, that since then things have changed up and that they are also catching up, because at the time we were not very much aware. So we are all still growing with this, and we have been, I feel like, the last couple of years especially, we have all learned so much more about this that I would hope that it would be the same with the Wizarding World, that they are at the same stage of sorts and constantly learning, despite of all their other, you know, old-fashioned kind of way of life. To round up our news and feedback section, I would still like to tell you, Juliana, and the listeners about things that came from Sarah the other day. She was sending me a picture. She was in her apartment, and when you look out of her room window, there was apparently a guy sitting with a Harry Potter book in his hand, and she debated with herself if she should go and say hi, and I encouraged her to do so. So she actually pulled herself together, was very brave, and she went outside and brought him, said hello, and brought him some Berrybots every flavor beans, and said that she had noticed that he is reading Harry Potter, and he said that he hadn't read the Harry Potter books, but he had borrowed it from a friend who said that the fifth was the best. So,
oh, okay.
Why wouldn't you start with the first? But okay,
yeah.
As long as you read it.
Fine.
So she had a little chat with him there. And then, and that's why I wanted to tell you about it.
Uh-huh.
She says, of course, I told him about Puffcast podcast.
Uh-huh.
And that her friend is a host on it and that he should definitely go and listen to us. So
he should.
Sarah, that was so sweet of you. And hello, dear stranger.
Fifth book reader.
That reads Harry Potter books in front of Sarah's window. In Sweden.
Out of order, too.
You there in Sweden, Gothenburg. If you are listening, thank you for showing up and listening to us. And if you want to send us a message or something, say hi. That was very sweet. And thank you, Sarah, for spreading the word. And of course, if any one of you is telling others about the podcast, we would love that.
If you have any stories as to how you've tricked or forced or gotten people to listen to this podcast, please let us know. We're happy to hear them and probably, with your permission, read them on the show.
Yeah. So that was it.
Do-do-do-do-do-do. News. Thank you all for joining us for the news. We will now be operating back to Hogwarts Castle as it is getting kind of wet and cold up here on the, not the castle on the hill, that's the Ed Sheeran song. What is the name of the chapter that this is part of? Wow, I'm a bad Harry Potter fan. The cave on the...
Well, is it on the hill? I think it's...
No, it's something else. I can't remember.
It's more of a cliff in the middle of the ocean.
I was going to say the ledge, the cave on the cliff, possibly. I don't know. Listeners, if Mel leaves this in, let me know what the chapter name is. I could go back and look at the book, but I'm not gonna. You can't make me. I mean, you could, but I'm not gonna.
Hi, I'm Beth Reinstein.
And I'm Nora Chin.
Do you like Harry Potter?
Do you like other works of fiction?
Then do we have the podcast for you.
It's called Get Sorted,
where we take characters from famous works of fiction and sort them into their Harry Potter houses.
Han Solo.
Slytherin.
Leslie Knope.
Gryffindor.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Hufflepuff.
Nancy Wheeler from Stranger Things.
Ravenclaw. And you can find out more by tuning in to Get Sorted.
Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitchers, or wherever you get podcasts. Brought to you by Berrybots Every Flavor Bean, a subsidiary of Weasley Incorporated.
Let's jump back into the main discussion with Brian.
Yay! Today, Brian, we're just going to be interviewing you and seeing what you do, why you do it, and all the amazing things that you have done and will do going forward. So I guess our first question to you is, how did you initially get to be a part of the Harry Potter fandom? Because obviously that's a big part of what your organization utilizes.
Yeah, so getting into the fandom for me, I was kind of a latecomer to it. I didn't come into the fandom until just before book 5 was released. Mm-hmm. And so I actually read the first few books while I was part of a medical research study. I was sequestered in a lab for a week. We were stuck and there was like a TV on a loop with some movies. And I brought some books with me and I brought Harry Potter books. And I'd never read them. after the end of that week, having devoured all four books, I was very eager for book five. And so I was in the fandom for book five, book six, and book seven releases.
Ooh, very exciting.
In the fandom for there. So I kind of came to it a little bit late, but definitely excited for them when they came out.
Now, did you go to any of the midnight releases for the books or the movies?
Not midnight releases, per se. I take that back. No, book six. Book six.
No lying here.
Yeah, book. I take that back. Book six. My girlfriend at the time, now my lovely wife, Dawn, we did go to the midnight release of book six. Was just a few days prior to our wedding. And then we took book six with us on our honeymoon.
Nice.
Each of us with our own copy because we didn't want one to read it and have the other one have to wait for the other one to read it. So we bought two copies and we took them on our honeymoon. And then, fun story real quick, at the end of our honeymoon, we were in St. Kitts, which was a small island in the Caribbean. They had just gotten like book four or five. And they were way behind, you know, because just the way things work with the Caribbean. And our bartender at our hotel noted that she was a big Harry Potter fan. And my wife had just literally in the last 30 minutes finished book six. And as a tip, slid the book across the bar and left her copy in St. Kitts with the bartender.
Aww.
And I am quite certain that that particular copy of Half-Blood Prince has been read by dozens and dozens of people and passed around the island of St. Kitts for years. And so that is a great spreading the fandom story that my wife did.
That's
giving
so sweet.
That book.
Yeah. See, aww, that's like the spirit and the nature that I find I love from the Harry Potter community. Just that spirit of inclusion.
Yes.
That I feel like we have, and is definitely something that I feel like you definitely capitalize on and enhance with the Potterhead Running Club. But so we have your Harry Potter origin story. Would you like to tell us how you got into running? Because this is kind of the other half of what this organization started as.
And like the Harry Potter fandom, it all goes back to the woman I married, be it perfectly blunt.
She is an absolutely wonderful person. Can we just give her a shout out here? Shout out to Dawn.
Yes, my lovely wife, Dawn. She's the chief creative officer. So she makes all the pretty, pretty bling bling. All the t-shirts, nice. All the medals, and all of that for our groups. And so when you see the beautiful art and you're amazed by the beautiful art, that is my wife, Dawn's creation. Meanwhile, I cannot even make a stick figure look good, but I can rock a government form like nobody's business. And so that's why I am the chief executive officer and she's the chief creative officer. But she got kind of sucked into doing a half marathon with her cousins and her aunt in late 2013. I had no interest in any kind of long distance running at all. But we went down to support her in November of 2013 in St. Petersburg, Tampa area for her half marathon. We were there at the finish line. And I saw the excitement and all the energy and this big bling that she got, the medal at the end. And I was like, ooh, I want one of those. I'll take one. How do I get one of those? And so I started on my running journey. And just 2 months later, January of 2014, I was back down in Florida. And I was running my first half marathon. And actually did pretty well, under 2 hours for my first half marathon.
That's pretty good.
Not bad. Not bad at all. And it was during that I saw, during that event and other events that came in the next month or so, I saw other runners that were running for charity. And I was like, oh, hey, I'd want to do that too. So I was really starting to think about the whole idea of charity and running at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that's what led to virtual running. A friend of mine from college introduced me to the concept and saw it for a for-profit. I was like, you know what? I bet I can make that a non-profit. And
there you
so
go.
That's where the group started. We originally were called Hogwarts Running Club. We changed our name January 1st of 2019 to Potterhead Running Club to focus more on the fandom, Potterheads.
Mm-hmm.
And so it made a lot more sense to have the name be that, because it really is all about the fans and motivating fans to be more physically active.
Yeah, which is super duper important. And in regards to the races, can you tell us about the first race that you put on as the then Hogwarts Running Club? Because I feel like now you guys have so many people who participate in your events.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to have started somewhere.
Very humble origins, as one would say. So it started in February 2014, was the idea was bubbling. And March 6th, 2014, we launched our very first event, the Sorcerer's Stone 5K. And 32 people signed up.
Woo, 32.
32. All right. The next event, which launched shortly thereafter, was the Chamber of Secrets 10K. And that garnered a 33-person registration list. Hey, that's 5% improvement, darn it.
Oh, we'll take it.
I'll take a 5% improvement. The third event got up to like 45 people. Hey.
Yeah. Ooh, that's almost 50.
Pick up some steam.
Slowly getting there.
But then it really did actually start to take off. And by the end of our first year, we had over 100 people that had signed up for every single event. We had just shy of 1,000 registrations for the year total.
Nice.
And we had raised $10,670 for the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, which is the charity. Wow. It's based in Boston. Juliana knows it well. If you're a Red Sox fan, you know Dana-Farber and you know the Jimmy Fund. And pediatric cancer is just a particular evil that just shouldn't exist. Kids with cancer is bad. And so we donated $10,670 in our first year to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
That was year one.
So what was the thing that kind of catapulted you where you are right now? So how many runners do you normally have for your races now? Like
thousands.
The next thousands. Okay.
Yeah. Thousands of people sign up for our events now. You know, we had some like heyday years. Now we're kind of leveled out around 3,000 people per event.
Very respectable.
Which is respectable. We used to have, you know, 5,000-6,000 people in a given event. That was kind of the heyday of the Harry Potter fandom. Totally fine. We're good and steady state and doing things like that. But no, it really took off in 2015. In June of 2015, we were in the middle of our Department of Mysteries 6.2442K, basically a 10K. But we're spelling out magic. 62442 spells out magic. That's the phone number that...
That's how we get into the ministry. Yeah.
That's how you get into the ministry, is you dial that phone number, 62442. And so it was in the middle of that event that our friends at MuggleNet did the very first story about Hogwarts Running Club. And we went from 3,086 likes on Facebook to over 5,000 likes on Facebook in a single night. And I remember that night very vividly. I was at I was active duty military. I was a lieutenant colonel stationed at the Pentagon at the time. I had gone to a military event that night. I was in my hotel room, and I had been enjoying some adult beverages well into the late hours of the evening. I came back to my hotel room. I looked at my phone to check on Facebook. I saw that 5,200 something. I'm like, oh, I've had too much to drink. I'm going to bed. Because obviously, I'm not reading this number right.
That can't be right.
I woke up the next morning, and it's even more. And I'm like, where did all you people come from? And they said, MuggleNet. And I'll be blunt. I said to myself, what's MuggleNet? While I loved the books and I loved the movies, I wasn't really immersed in the fandom. I'd never been to a convention. I'd never, you know, read fan articles or fan fiction or seen fan art, really. It was just pretty much the books. And yeah, I liked the movies. Okay, that's all I had.
Yeah.
But that was the moment my eyes were opened to the full fandom.
Yeah. It sounds like that was a pretty like pivotal moment for what direction, per se, you took the club in after that.
Yeah, very, very much so, because by the end of that year, we had started the year with a couple thousand likes on Facebook. We ended the year with 25,000 likes on Facebook. By the end of the year, we were a fully established 501c3 nonprofit. We had a board of directors. We had established our online communities, which I will talk about at great length because they're awesome later on. But we created our online communities where people could geek out and talk about fitness and fandom and all that kind of good stuff. In that second year, we had gone from $10,670 to over $400,000 donated to our charity partners for the year. Second year was all different charity partners for each event. But from 10,000 to 400,000.
That's amazing.
In a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was big. And then 2016 was even bigger. And so this became my full-time job. I left the Air Force. I was active duty. I went into the reserve. I'm still a colonel. Once a month, I shave the beard and I go cosplay as a colonel. That's my weekend cosplay, is I put on a uniform and I'm a colonel.
Okay.
But so I went back to being part-time reservist, and I am a full-time geek. That's what I do full-time.
I think it's absolutely fabulous. I would love to have a job where I just get to be a nerd all the time. It'd be so great.
It is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
So basically anyone can run and take part to your races, right?
You have it correct. They are virtual. So in 2020, people really started to understand the concept of a virtual run.
Yeah. Yeah. People before that have no idea.
People before that, no idea.
Yeah.
In the before times.
Yeah.
In the before times, we spent a lot of time explaining what a virtual run was. Now, if you're in the running community at all, you know what a virtual run is now because you've been doing it for the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a virtual run means that you can do it anywhere, any way, any time you want. So Monday night, Tuesday morning, Thursday afternoon. You can break up the distance if it's a little too long for you. You can break it up into smaller chunks. You can walk. You can run. You can bike, swim, sashay, meander, cha-cha, gallivant, frolic, flounce, flounder, fossy, trudge, carry on, carry over, carry grant. Wait a minute. That got away from me. Anyway, you can do it any way, anywhere, any when you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We do it apart, but together. Separately, but together. It was social distanced before social distancing was cool. And then you sign up for the event, you donate $27 to our nonprofit. We send you the super awesome geeky medal for the event that you signed up for as in exchange for your donation, mm-hmm. which is tax deductible, depending on the laws where you live. And then the charity partner for that event gets the proceeds. And in the last 7 years, we've donated a total of $2.6 million to more than 75 small direct impact nonprofits all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And you specifically pick these smaller nonprofits, correct? That way you can make a little bit more of an impact. Do you want to talk about some of the nonprofits that you have selected or like why you've chosen?
Happily, because besides Harry Potter, my biggest fandom is our charity partners. They are amazing. In 2014, everything went to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And at the end of the year, I donated, like I said, $10,670. I got back the standard thank you for your donation form letter from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and it was made out to Mr. Higgs, H-I-G-G-S. My last name is Biggs with a B, and it's not like I'm looking for fame or glory or anything, but can you spell my name right on your dang form letter, please? It was around that time I realized that Dana-Farber was a $220 million a year fundraising beast. So our $10,000 didn't make a dang bit of difference. But around the same time, I found out from a supporter of ours about a charity that her and her daughter supported called Miles for Cystic Fibrosis. And their annual budget was about $10,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, if I gave them a few thousand dollars, that would make a bigger impact for them than some giant research organization, which is Dana-Farber's great. Don't get me wrong. I love Dana-Farber. And someone's got to pay for research. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make a direct impact. I wanted to have a quantifiable so what at the end of the day. As it turned out, we ended up, Miles for Cystic Fibrosis was our first charity partner under this new model in 2015. And we ended up giving them $50,000 compared to their normal annual budget of $10,000 to $20,000.
Yeah.
So they were good.
They were like, we'll see you in 5 years. Thank you very much. It's been good.
They were quite pleased.
Did they spell your name right?
They did, in fact, spell my name right. And in fact, I got to present the check at their big thing at the end of the year, and it was super fun. We did the big fake check thing, which was awesome. But we have had a lot of really spectacular charity partners over the years, and we have accomplished a lot of direct impact good, what we call hashtag so much good. That's our phrase. We solemnly swear that we are up to so much good. Mm-hmm. And we have put 89 legs on amputees. We built a sloth rescue facility in Costa Rica.
Aww.
We helped the Harry Potter Alliance, now called Fandom Forward, build a library in Uganda. And then another year, we funded HPA's Granger Leadership Academy, almost completely funded that academy experience. And in 2016, we did kind of wipe out a disease in an entire country. In Guyana, we wiped out elephantiasis and other tropical river diseases, 7 total tropical river diseases. We helped inoculate the entire population.
That is just mind-blowing, and it's just
crazy. I am speechless.
We funded the inoculation of 300,000 men, women, and children to create a herd immunity against those 7 tropical diseases.
And now think back to your very beginning.
I wanted to raise $500 for cancer research. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to raise $500 for cancer research.
Oops. Oh my god, that's amazing.
I kind of overshot truly. My goal a bit.
Yeah. Good on you guys. No, that's really amazing. That is, I mean, I'm really speechless. That's so good.
Yeah.
Literally every day, the words $500 roll through my brain.
Yeah.
This organization, the Potterhead Running Club, and all of the, what we call our Fanthropy Running Clubs. Fanthropy is mm-hmm. fandom philanthropy.
Mm-hmm.
For Fanthropy Running Clubs, it is proof that magic exists. Because there's no way that any of this could happen with a plan.
There's no valid point.
There's no way you could plan this. It was, oh my gosh, that just happened.
Yeah.
Bloody magic right there. Yeah, it has been quite an amazing ride over the last 7 years.
Yeah. I feel like you guys have just brought so much joy into the community. But two things I want to actually hear about from you, Ryan, is the community that you've created, because you're bringing all this good into a community, but you're also creating a fabulous community. And as a runner, like, I love the running community with all of my heart, soul, toes, head, ears, eyes, every part of me loves the running community because it's just such a positive space. And I think I'd really just love for you to tell us about the Potterhead running community, because it's just, it's the soul of your organization, if I am speaking correctly.
You are speaking correctly. It is the heart and soul of what we do. Our mission is to motivate communities of fans to be more physically active while making a positive change in the world. So it's all of, while the money's great, the $2.6 million, super awesome. What I'm proud of most of all is the 21 million miles that we have helped motivate geeks to accomplish to get off the couch, put down the remote, and get a little bit more physically active. These communities, for the most part, exist on Facebook. So if you are not a fan of the book face, sorry, that's where they mainly. We're on Instagram and Twitter as well, but you're not getting the full immersive experience. And it really kind of is an immersive experience. Because we have the PHRC, because we're now Potterhead Running Club. And so we held on to the HRC acronym of Hogwarts Running Club, and we put a P in front. So while we know that Potterhead is one word, and it really bugs the Ravenclaws, we are PHRC as an homage to where we started.
Yeah.
So the PHRC Great Hall on Facebook is where a lot of the magic happens. That's where everybody hangs out. But then we have the PHRC Slytherin Common Room and the PHRC Hufflepuff Common Room, Gryffindor, and Ravenclaw. We even have a PHRC Faculty Lounge for those who do not identify with a particular Hogwarts house and they just want a little community of their own. Ironically enough, they're almost all teachers. When they read the books, they didn't identify with the students. They identified with the teachers because they were teachers when they read the books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, get me away from all these students. I need 5 seconds to have some coffee.
But then we also have some other side groups. We have Neville's Nook for people who are interested in plants. We have PHRC. It's a PHRC transfiguration class for people who do fandom arts and crafts and knitting and sewing. So we call it transfiguration. And so we've got a couple of these little side groups as well under the PHRC umbrella. And then we have over 100 regional groups. All over the world, England and Germany, all over Europe. We have them all over the United States and in Australia, these Fanthropy chapters. And people then meet up, well, in the before times, and hopefully now, once people are getting vaccinated, they will meet up for coffee. They'll meet up for a run. They'll meet up to go see the next geeky movie that's coming out. Whatever, just hanging out and being awesome nerds together.
Yeah.
But this whole community is based on three simple rules. No politics, no religion, and no hate. If you bring any of those three things into my community, you're out of there. The biggest one, the last one, is the no hate. We are a completely inclusive community. So I don't care who you are or where you come from or whatever label society wants to place upon you, you are welcome here. The only requirement is really that you be a geek. That's it.
Yeah.
Be a Potterhead. That's the requirement.
See, I feel like for people who are not runners and or have had no experience directly with the running community, kind of see runners as intimidating and scary and maybe rude. But the second you actually talk to people who are runners, I've never actually talked to a legitimately like rude runner per se. And that you don't realize how positive that community can be. And the fact that you are taking that community that sometimes and obviously a lot more prior to COVID, was only an in-person thing. So you only had access to the people who were in your community. So like for me, I don't know anyone else here who runs and also is a Potterhead, but I can find those people through you guys. It really just amplifies how much I identify with positivity of the running community is something that goes completely underrated.
Absolutely. I completely agree. But running, you said it, is a little bit intimidating. Not maybe on the community.
Oh, yes.
But running itself, fitness itself is intimidating. And we have people who are ultra marathoners who run 200 miles a week because they think that's fun and they're crazy. I love them, but they're nuts.
Mel's like Juliana.
But at the same time, we have people who are 200 pounds overweight, literally trying to get around the block for the first time.
Yeah.
And now that person would be mortified to walk into a running store to ask about shoes or sports bras or chafing, plantar fasciitis, hydration, any of those things that get a little bit personal and intimate. And they'd be mortified to ask a runner who looks very different from them, who's at a different place on their fitness journey. But in our communities, oh, I'm just a Hufflepuff. I can hang out in the Hufflepuff common room and ask my fellow Puffs about sports bras. Mm-hmm. I can ask my fellow Hufflepuffs about hydration. And I got this pain in my foot and a muscle that I didn't know that I even had. What is that? And we always start with, while we do not give medical advice in Potterhead Running Club, I know exactly what that is because I've had that myself.
Yes.
And so the community breaks down all of those barriers to fitness. And that is our whole thing, is to break down as many barriers as possible to make access to fitness, to improved physical fitness, more accessible to everyone. We have people of all different ability levels. We have people of different disability levels. We have people who have multiple sclerosis. We have people in wheelchairs. We have people who are dealing with all sorts of physical limitations, other physical or mental handicaps. They're all welcome because a virtual run can be walked. It can be broken up. It can be done in any way. And you can complete the distance whether you sign up for the event and donate and get the medal in return for your donation. You could still do the event. You just don't get a medal, but you could still do the event. You're welcome to do so. Because our community is all about motivating people to be more active. And we accomplish that literally every single day.
Yeah. And it's nice, too, because you make a good point of all of the different facets and colors and the rainbow spectrum of who people are, what their abilities are. And I'm sure that there are a lot of people who enter your running groups and feel like, okay, I must be the only person with these issues. And then they find, like, 10 other people who, like, say for me, like, I'm like, oh, I'll tell you one thing. Every runner has at least one good poop story.
Yes. That is true.
I have many. I have GI issues. But for me, as someone who is like starting running, if I like am thinking to myself, like, oh, I have these GI issues, I must be the only one. No one else around me has ever talked about it. And then I come into this community. I'm sure there are at least 20 other people who have probably been like, yeah, I took a poop there once. It was bad.
The Rock and Roll New Orleans Half Marathon. I took a detour.
Here we go.
Detour at mile 7. I took a detour into a Days Inn hotel.
Ooh,
into the bathroom lobby, the lobby in the bathroom. I made it into the bathroom just in time. And then I proceeded to destroy the lobby bathroom of that hotel.
And then probably walked out like nothing was wrong. Was and like, then good day,
I 15 minutes later, I left and went back out to the course and continued to run. And I walked out like I owned the place.
Yep. This is an accurate story.
So, yes, if you've ever done any distance greater than a 5K, you have a poop story.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. You just jostling your whole body and your intestines for that long, especially a marathon. Oh, my.
Yeah, that was a half. But yeah, that was mile 7 of a half marathon. And
wild times.
Wild times. Back to the Harry Potter part. Let's.
Yes.
Yes,
let's,
please.
Mel's like, stop talking about poop,
please. We're talking about Potterheads, not Pooperheads. Let's move on.
Yes, but I guess my point was that anyone who has any kind of challenge or just thing happening to them, I'm sure they find a fabulous community and at least a couple other people who can help them out and be like, at least be like, yeah, that happens to me too. You're not alone, which is a huge thing.
And yeah, and our community is, but it's our community is so much more than the fitness aspect, to be perfectly honest. It has, especially over the last 18 months, has been a sanity-saving, happy place for thousands of Potterheads who were trapped in their homes, in their apartments. We were all quarantined, and it stunk. It was really terrible. And these communities really provided a good, safe space for everyone to just hang out and blow off steam. And we like to say that our communities are the happiest place on the internet because of our rules of no politics, no religion, no hate. Everybody's welcome. And if you can't abide by those simple rules, then it's just not the place for you.
Yeah. I love that they're spreading all this positivity and building this awesome, fabulous, positive community. Because I know Mel and I can both speak for the fact, too, that us being friends and having a kind of similar community online over COVID has definitely, I know, at least saved my butt mentally.
For us all, yes, it was very important to have that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And the vast amount of variety that you have in your groups is just, there is someone for everyone.
Yeah.
So I feel like you are definitely not alone no matter what. And you will always find someone that will understand you and will know exactly what you're going through and will help you to be motivated and get through it and just do the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's really important, too, that you're, whatever that physical activity may be, but you're pushing physical activity within the fandom, because just as someone who is like a marathon runner, I definitely feel as though a lot of the time I'm definitely in the minority of someone, of the people who are super physically active, you know? I, on that level, I'm just very happy that even if people aren't running, they're walking. They're prancercising, maybe. They're doing something.
I myself have prancercised. And I know this is a podcast and you can't see me, but let me tell you, if you saw me and then you imagined prancercising, that would be very funny.
Well, if you'd like to videotape yourself prancercising, we're more than happy to put it on our social media. Yes. Don't you worry.
If you visit Hoovian Running Club on Facebook, ooh, there is a video of me prancercising in the streets of Seattle because our Hoovian Running Club, which is for our Doctor Who fans, hit a particular registration goal a couple years back, and I prancercised through the streets of Seattle.
Oh, don't tempt me. I'm going to go find that.
I think that was in the community. It's awesome. Go.
Come be a part of it. Now, would you be able to tell us more about the name of your organization, Random Tuesday? Just because that's a very random name to be having for a...
That's probably the point.
Yeah.
Well, so here's the thing is the organization actually has seven names. It's Random Tuesday, Random Wednesday, Random Thursday. We change it literally every day. No, I'm kidding. No.
Well, that would be terrible for the graphics team.
That would be terrible for the graphics team. It'd be a nightmare for me on the government forums. No, Random Tuesday actually comes from my wife and I and how we do giving with each other. And so rather than the Hallmark holidays like Valentine's Day and things like that, we tend to ignore those. And we focus on giving each other gifts when we see something that we think the other person would like. Oh, I think you'd really like that. Click, buy. Or I'm at the store and I see flowers. I'm going to get you flowers. There you go. And I saw this. I thought of you and here you go. My wife and I have always said that we would prefer a gift on a random Tuesday than a gift because we were obligated to give a gift. We think that giving should be something that you do freely because you want to do. There's a guilt trip factor with a lot of charities. Mm-hmm. They try the guilt trip thing. Ours is trying to be positive. And yes, admittedly, I do sometimes pick a charity partner that will hit you right in the feels. In fact, all of our charity partners will hit you right in the feels because their missions are awesome and you should want to support them. We try to pick the best charity partners we can.
Yeah.
You have a race that's going on right now. Would you like to tell the listeners about the race that you are currently putting on that I will be participating in and already harassed three people today into signing up for?
Yes, thank you very much. I will gladly tell you about it. Our current event going on right now is the Reflection 5K. It is, in fact, a Mirror of Irised medal. And the cool thing is on the back, it says, do not dwell on dreams and forget to live. And at the bottom, reversed, it says, goals in the mirror are closer than they appear. And the Reflection 5K is a beautiful medal, but it is supporting an equally beautiful charity partner called World Bicycle Relief. World Bicycle Relief is a global charity based in the Midwest, United States, in Chicago. And they provide what are called Buffalo Bicycles. That's the brand of bicycle. For $147, Buffalo Bicycle is given to someone in the developing world. These things are sturdy, reliable bicycles. They can hold up a full-grown human plus 250 pounds of cargo. And so these bicycles are used to help women and girls go to school. Well, women, girls, boys, men go to school, have jobs, get to their jobs, start a business, whatever it is, to get from, you know, from their tiny village to the larger town where they can sell their goods. It helps with water collection. I know this sounds like a weird thing for those of us who live in the developed world, but there are people who have to walk miles and miles and miles to get water. They don't have faucets. They don't have toilets. They don't have taps. They have to go miles to get water. They have to put it in big jugs, and then they have to hand carry it all the way back. Now, water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. So a young girl, 8, 9, 10 years old, and this always falls on the girls to do this. The boys get to go to school, but the girls and the women have to go collect the water because that's sexism.
We are aware. It is.
Yeah. There it is. So these girls are carrying 20, 25 pounds of water. That's still only 3 gallons. They need to do multiple trips over the course of the day, so they don't have time to go to school. However, if they were able to put, say, 100 pounds of water, which is, you know, a dozen gallons on the back of their Buffalo bicycle, they could be done with the water collection in no time flat.
Yeah.
And now they have time to go to school. They can get on, they can leave, drop the water off at home, get on that same bicycle, head off to school. Be at school all day, come back, do their chores in the evening, do their studying. It is vital to be able to get from point A to point B. You know, for the human race to be interconnected requires transportation. The roads are not reliable enough for cars. And if, even if people could afford cars, but a bicycle is a path to freedom. So while we in the developing world, if we looked into the mirror of Erised, we might see fame, glory, riches. Maybe we see a long-lost love return to us. Maybe it's a family member we miss. If you're a person in the developing world who needs to get to school, needs to collect water, needs to get your goods to town, start your own business, maybe you see a bicycle. Maybe that is your great desire. It's just a means to accomplish your dreams. Just a bicycle. And we take things, we take so much for granted here in the US and in the developed world that it is good for us to once in a while think about the fact that we can turn on a tap and we have water immediately, that we can get in our cars and drive, that we have mass transportation available to us if we don't have a car. And people in the developing world don't have that. So the World Bicycle Relief has helped get hundreds of thousands, I think millions, I think I know it's millions, millions of bicycles into the hands of people who need them. And we are going to help get some more into the hands of people who need them. And then the really cool part is the maintenance of those bicycles is also funded by World Bicycle Relief. And so they pay the mechanics. The mechanics are people who live in the villages.
Oh, so they're hiring local people to be the mechanics.
The local person gets, they pay for the training. The local person gets trained on how to fix the bicycles. They get parts for super, super, super cheap, basically at cost or donated. They get the parts, they order the parts, and then they fix the bicycles local, and then they get paid by the locals to fix the bicycle. And so it creates an economy all built around the bicycle itself. The bicycle is being used to get to jobs, to start businesses, to get to school. And then the bicycle repair is another economy all within itself.
Again, a very simple thing to do that a wave of things are happening. And
all the positivity that follows.
Yeah.
If we simply address one simple direct impact issue, transportation.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of charity partner we select, is charities like World Bicycle Relief. An absolutely amazing organization. For those who are watching this podcast on the 21st of July, if you check out Potterhead Running Club on the Great Hall tomorrow on the 22nd, you will see my live Q&A with World Bicycle Relief, and you can learn more about the organization there.
Ooh, oh, nice. Cool.
Okay. So that's happening tomorrow.
And so if people want to sign up for this, how can they sign up and become a donor and help you guys raise money for, let's say, 500 bicycles? So just picking a number.
A lot of bicycles. It'll be many bicycles. And so you can go to potterheadrunning.org. You can go to the PHRC Great Hall on Facebook. Search for that. You can also just like and follow Potterhead Running Club on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on all those spaces. If you want to check out all of the philanthropic organizations going on here. You can go to fanthropy.org, fanthropy.org, and that will take you to a landing page where you can go to Potterhead Running Club for the Harry Potter fans, which is pretty much everyone who's listening to this podcast. But you might also be a fan of Doctor Who, and so you might like the Whovian Running Club, which is super awesome. And then we also have the Chilton Running Club for Gilmore Girls fans. And then our newest program is called Fandom Running Club, and that's for everything else. So Supernatural, Buffy, D&D, Stranger Things. We just did a Friends medal. We've done Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail.
I check all these boxes.
We've done The Good Place. We did a Die Hard medal.
Shadow and Bone. I would like to suggest Shadow and Bone or the Grishaverse.
I hear your Shadow and Bone. I'm kind of looking, waiting to see how season two pans out. And we do sometimes do events based on books. And if you are listening to this on the 21st of July, you should check out Fandom Running Club because we're launching a brand new event in just a couple of days in Fandom Running Club. And if you're a fan of books, I will give you a teaser that is based on an author.
Oh, okay. It's this.
That's a special PuffCast exclusive spoiler.
Ooh.
PuffCast exclusive. It is based on an author who is no longer alive. So it's an older author.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll make sure that we are putting all the information and links into the description of the episode so that people can find you easily in case that they don't know you yet. Although I can barely imagine that someone actually hasn't heard of you before.
That's weird because, you know, we're still trying to advertise. We still advertise all the time.
Well, we will put you out there.
Fans of PuffCast may or may not be aware.
Yeah,
of this.
That's true.
Exactly. And I guess I just have one more question for you, Ryan. This is the question that I think is a fun question. But would you like to give our listeners all a reason to run or get active today?
The reality is that geeks are notoriously sedentary.
Mm-hmm.
All good geeky things, let's be honest, involve sitting down. Whether you're playing a video game, surfing the web, making a cosplay costume, binge watching a show, and Netflix is not going to binge watch itself. It needs me. Even though it constantly gives me guilt. Are you still watching? But all these good geeky things involve sitting down. This is a geeky thing that will help you be more active. While we don't have hard data, we have some pretty strong and persuasive anecdotal data that says that the geek community has higher rates of diabetes, higher rates of obesity, higher rates of mental health issues than anywhere else. And with the possible exception of American football fans.
Yeah, a valid point.
Those dudes are crazy. Anyway, but here's the thing. The geek community doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be inactive couch potatoes. We can get up, we can get moving, we can make ourselves better while we're making the world better at the same time. It's not hard. It's getting started that's hard.
Yeah.
And Potterhead Running Club, Whovian Running Club, Chilton Running Club, Fandom Running Club, we're here to help with that first step, which is always the toughest.
Yeah, I think that's great motivation to get outside and know that you're not alone in starting your journey. And if you'd like some support and some fandom love, then you can just head right on over to any of the Random Tuesday running clubs and there'll be someone there to greet you with a butterbeer, hopefully, or whatever the Whovian people eat.
Fish fingers and custard.
Fish fingers and custard in Whovian.
Yuck.
In Fandom Running Club, the Supernatural fans will welcome you with pie.
Yes.
Okay, pie is fine.
Pie is good. Mm-hmm. The Good Place fans will welcome you with a cactus.
I'll probably kill it. That's not a good idea. I kill every plant that I touch.
You stick with your running.
Yeah, I'm just going to like keep running forever and ever and ever. And I'll let Mel take care of the plants.
Well, and now, Juliana, have you joined the Hufflepuff Common Room yet?
I haven't gotten to the Hufflepuff Common Room, but I did join the
Charity Miles team?
Miles team for the Hufflepuffs.
That's the you joined the 2021 team, right? You didn't join one of the... Okay.
I grabbed the general one and the Hufflepuff one.
Yes, you have to join the main one, which is Potterhead Running, and then you got to join the Hufflepuff one, because that's part of our House Cup competition, and Hufflepuff is just barely in second place. They are just very close to first place right now behind Gryffindor, and I know for the Potterheads who are listening, you're like, of course Gryffindor's in first place. That's actually really strange. Because in our community, all of the House Cups, going all the way back to the beginning, all of the House Cups have been won by either Slytherin or Ravenclaw. Neither Gryffindor nor Hufflepuff has ever won the PHRC House Cup.
Not this time.
But Juliana is coming at it full bore.
Yes. I will be marathon training and you can have all my miles. Ha ha.
Yeah, so the miles for marathon training, the signing up for events, participating in what we call our direct impact projects, which we just finished up our summer direct impact project. We collected period supplies for shelters here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Proud to brag that we set out an ambitious goal of 200,000 period supplies, and we overshot it a bit. 450,000 period supplies collected in just 3 weeks.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely, yeah. Mind-blowing. That's the power of fandom right there.
That is the power of fandom.
That's what you've harnessed.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes. Well, Brian, thank you so much for that wonderful interview. As we do with all of our guests, for listeners, this is Brian and I's second turnaround on this game.
Oh, I got another one for you.
Okay, he's ready. I thought of one while
I got a new one.
He's probably lying. just calling it here straight out the gate. But we're going to play our game with you called Are You Puffin' Kidding Me? And this is the game where each person has one fact about them to tell to the group. The group must then vote if this person is telling them the truth or puffing with them. And each guessing person can also ask one question of the person giving the statement. And Brian, as the guest, we would like you to go first if you are ready to lie to me.
I am ready to lie to you.
Yes.
So, okay, real quick. Last time we recorded this, and then we had a bad error, I did, in fact, confess that in 1997, I was the very first Wally the Green Monster, the mascot for the Boston Red Sox, which is true. I was the very first Wally in 1997.
We discovered Julian as a terrible Massachusetts resident as well.
It's okay. It took a little bit of offense. All right, but I got a new one for you.
Okay.
Tell me if I'm lying or not. I lobbied Congress on behalf of the International Space Station, and the next day the headline read, International Space Station passes Congress under heavy lobbying.
What were you lobbying the International Space Station for?
That it would be funded, to fund the International Space Station.
In
1994, I lobbied Congress to fund the International Space Station.
Oh, he knows I can't remember these dates. He knows I was born in 1993, too, so there's no way as a one-year-old I would remember this.
And she's like, to the Google! What year was the,
God.
What year was the
no
ISS?
I would have no clue.
I have no idea what year. Ask him what year the International Space Station, Mel. He could lie to us, actually. No, don't ask him that.
You know, I just go straight away to an answer because I got the impression you are a man with a big will and you make things happen. So I say it's true.
What do you say, Juliana?
This sounds like something that is very in line with you. I feel like I'm going to regret what I say, no matter which direction I headed. This is usually how it works. I have to beat Mel. That's my only goal, is to beat Mel. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to say that it's true, because this seems exactly in line, but you're probably catching me on a technicality. It was probably like 1995, but let me know.
No, it was the summer of 1994. I did do it. I was 18.
Oh, okay.
I was 18 years old. I was one of 100 students selected to go to Washington, D.C. for a special in-depth experience with government. And while I was there, I found out that the International Space Station was being debated in the House of Representatives. And I asked permission, and they gave me permission. And I spent a day walking around the Rayburn Executive Office Building, talking to legislative aides. And I did get a chance to actually talk to one congressman and encourage them to vote in favor of funding the International Space Station, because at the time I wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh, wow. Kind of a bit of a deviation that you've taken.
But I did have a bit of a deviation, but I did lobby Congress as an 18-year-old kid from Nebraska.
Good for you.
Wow.
That's fabulous. Okay, Mel, would you like to go next?
Okay, because we were talking about bikes earlier, I have only learned to ride a bike when I was 7 years old.
So you learned to ride a bike when you were 7 years old. That's the that's the truth.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's like young or old, because I don't think I knew how to ride a bike at seven. I'm trying to think of the age that I started riding a bike.
I'm telling you right now, Melanie is puffing with me.
Seven is quite late.
I don't even think I was seven when I started riding. I feel like I was like 10.
Melanie is puffing with me. That's what I'm saying.
Usually when I can kind of catch Mel on a weird technicality, or like when I discovered, when she told me it took her 4 hours to hike to the top of the tallest mountain in like England or whatever it was. And it I was like, four hours to get to like the top of Mount Everest or whatever the heck it was.
No,
like, there's no way.
It was a mountain in Austria, okay?
Yeah, that was really the, like the a 20 Matterhorn? Hour hike.
It's called Großglockner.
That's a made-up word.
No, it's
not. Yeah, it is, because all words are made up.
I have a rock from that mountain right here. See, nice. This is proof.
And it says on it, Großglockner.
No, it doesn't, but I collected it from
word,
there.
That word would not fit on that tiny stone. That word is a lot longer than that stone can fit.
So, Juliana.
I think that you're puffing with us, Mel, because I think that you're thinking that that's like an old age for you to start riding a bike. But mm-hmm. in reality, I think I started riding a bike when I was like 10 or something. So, I mean,
that is so
late. I didn't learn how to ride a bike until I was in the second grade. So I was just 7.
Yeah. Really? I feel like that's not like a weird time frame. That's like a pretty average bike riding time frame.
Okay.
So, Melanie, were you puffing with us?
So it's actually true. And you both don't get a point.
Darn.
I don't know if that is really an appropriate age for you over there, but at least in Germany, all my friends and also in my family, everyone learns to ride the bike quite early, but you have these little extra wheels on your bike so you don't fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, training wheels, exactly.
Oh, yeah,
and
we have that.
No one bothered to teach me to ride the bike. So I was about 7 and in school already when I learned it with a friend's bike. And I was very late with that. I also learned only when I was about 11 how to swim.
Oh, see, swimming I did when I was like 3.
Yeah, but here, also here in Finland, you can see kids quite much earlier, like with, let's say, 5 maybe, that they're already riding the bike like pros. So...
Yeah, that was not me. I can tell you that much. That was not me.
Okay, Juliana, your turn.
Yes. So my statement is that I have run some obstacle races in the past. Those are, generally speaking, races that have all these fun obstacles in them. Now, you would very much so enjoy them, like jumping over fire and going through mud pits and climbing up real things like that, like jumping into pools of mud, you know, as you do on a normal day, scaling walls.
Sounds very American to me.
It's a good excuse to pay money to get a bruise, let me tell you that much. Okay. But one of these obstacle races that I ran was in Fenway Park, which is where the Red Sox play.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
You are not puffing
Brian
me.
Thinks it is true.
You
thinks I am not puffing.
No, well, no, you're not puffing. That is where the Red Sox play. Oh, you're saying you did an obstacle course race in Fenway. I thought the statement of fact was the Red Sox play in Fenway Park, and like, that's true. Red Sox do play.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a personal statement either. That would just be stating a random fact.
So you say you did an obstacle course race. Are you saying you did a Spartan in Fenway Park?
Is that your question for me?
Yes, that's my question.
I did do a Spartan in Fenway Park.
All right. I have my answer. I'll wait for Melanie, though.
Mel, would you like to ask me a question? You're probably very lost right now.
I am just imagining you jumping through fire hoops and going through the mud and all of that.
Do you think I'm that agile?
While juggling or something.
Wow, you really, if you're actually imagining me not tripping over my feet, you have very high expectations for me. Let me tell you that would not happen.
Give me some examples of the obstacles that you had to go through.
Oh, well, we had the big wooden walls, we had ropes that we had to climb, you had to lift up big things on pulleys that you had to do, and then you had to get weights on your back and run up and down stairs and roll down the back part on your side. It's very spiky. I wasn't a fan.
I say it's not true.
Okay.
As a former employee of Fenway Park, I know for a fact that they would never let you set up a mud pit in Fenway Park. It might have been near it. But it wasn't in it. You are puffing with us.
You think I'm puffing with you?
You are puffing with me.
Oh, well, my friends, I'm very sad to tell you that it's true.
No!
It was not a truce. It was a Spartan sprint.
It was a Spartan sprint.
Okay. It was all inside Fenway Park?
Yeah, fully inside. We went through the dugout. We went over the green monster. We went through the locker rooms. You got to run around the field. And they had like all the, I have pictures from it too. It was into, I had so many bruises
and
right here.
And they dug up the sacred ground of Fenway Park to put in a mud pit.
No, they did not actually have a mud pit here. That was the exception, was they were not allowed to actually like destroy and deface the
anything.
Anything. It was, they put up a lot of obstacles, and there was like, we had to carry bean, like these really, really heavy like beanbag sack things on our backs up and down the stairs at Fenway.
All right. That sounds like a cool event. I was sucked in by your mud pit focus.
Well, see, I have, that's why I wanted to get you, because I have run other races that are not the Fenway one, but this one included many a mud pit.
Many a mud pit.
Okay.
I have finished the Spartan trifecta in a single weekend.
Wow, that sounds absolutely awful.
It was absolutely terrible. I did the I did the sprint, the whatever the second one is, and the beast. I did the whole thing in one weekend in Scotland.
I mean, at least you had pretty scenery.
I had pretty scenery, but man, that hill, that mountain that I climbed three times really stopped looking pretty.
Yeah, like I'll run a regular marathon. I love regular marathons. This is not for me. This is not where my strong suit is.
No, me neither. I have done one Spartan. I did it one weekend. I did it with my fellow Slytherins. It was a dozen Slytherins in Scotland.
Yeah, that's a force to be reckoned with.
It was
right
Snex
there.
In Scotland, Spartan Scotland Snex, and it was a blast. Impressive. It was an absolute
very
blast.
Impressive. Okay, what points are we adding to the tally, Mal?
With that, Juliana and me both made 1 point. Unfortunately, Brian did not make any points for the guests, but that gives us a good chance to pick up, because yes, they are still leading with 19 points, the guests. And Juliana is now currently in second place still with 11 points, and I am on third place with 9 points.
Yeah, take that, Mel.
Yeah, you see, I think it's an unfair advantage because you guys get to interview me for a long time, and then I have to like try to like deceive you or not, and you've already judged my character by then. So
yes,
I felt I hadn't had a chance to interview you, so I hadn't had a chance to judge your character yet. So well done, true. You for stacking the deck in your favor. Well done.
I think he just called us sneaky.
Oh,
well, I am half snack.
I'm sorry. I was looking in a mirror while I was talking. Sorry, my apologies.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Awesome. Well, Brian, would you like to remind our listeners again where they can find you and the Potterhead Running Club?
Absolutely. You can go to potterheadrunning.org. You can also go to fanthropy.org, FANTHROPY.org, and that'll take you to the landing page for all of our Fanthropy Running Clubs. You can also find us on Facebook at Potterhead Running Club or PHRC Great Hall if you want to find the group. That's the cool part, is PHRC Great Hall. And from there, you can find your common room and all that kind of good stuff. So come check us out.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for joining us. This was
great.
Yes,
that was so much fun.
Thank you for having me.
And listeners, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can listen to us on any platforms where pods are cast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffCastPod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast. You can also find us on TikTok at PuffCast, or you can send us an email at PuffCastPod@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon where you can support us over there for as little as $2 a month, where we have bloopers, extra episodes, exclusive benefits, and we also donate to charity every month. And this past month, we donated to a wonderful German, not a food shelter,
an animal shelter.
The opposite of that. An animal shelter. And we will be making our decision for our next donation in the coming weeks after this episode comes out, so stay tuned for that. Again, you can join for as little as $2 a month, and at least $1 of your donation to us goes right back into charity. And if you would like to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, we would love to read your review on the show. So until next time, stay puffy
and badger on.